We did have a wonderful vacation. We're very grateful to everybody. Grateful to the men and the preaching and teaching and singing and playing and reading and praying and conducting the worship services. I'm very grateful. Brother Luke is going to bring our message tonight to help me. Grateful to him for that. Let's all have a word of prayer. Our high and holy Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this opportunity to gather in your name, Lord, and to, as we just said, conduct worship. Lord, what a privilege it is to be able to worship you. This is glory. This is heaven itself, being able to worship you in the person of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we are so inadequate, Lord. We acknowledge our sinfulness. We acknowledge our inability to worship you. We acknowledge our hindrances. We acknowledge the weakness of the mind and the flesh and prone to wander. Lord, we feel it. But we know and believe one day soon all of these hindrances will be taken away. And Lord, we look forward to worshiping you in spirit and in truth. And if you would be so kind, Lord, as to let us have somewhat of a glimpse of that now, Lord, we would be so grateful. Would you allow us to worship you today, Lord? Would you allow us to truly bow before you and praise you and enter into what we have because of everything that you've done for us? Lord, I do personally give thanks for all of the brethren here and the men that you've raised up to preach to us. And we all give thanks for every man you've raised up to preach the truth, wherever they may be in this world. It is a great gift to have the gospel preached, and we are so thankful for it. We pray for each man who will stand today. Be with them, help them, Lord. Speak through them, give them liberty and clarity. And we pray for each of our teachers here who are teaching these children. Lord, help them and bless them and plant a seed in the hearts of these little ones, if you would be willing. Help us and save us, Lord. We pray for our loved ones that are going through great trials. Would you be with them and touch them and comfort them and draw us nearer to you, Lord, in every way that you see fit to do that. Draw us nearer to you. Thank you again. We ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, we'll continue our study here in Matthew. Let's read verses 21 to 28. Matthew 15, verse 21, it says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now I've titled this Bible study, Great Faith. Great faith. The Lord told this woman, great is thy faith. Don't we want great faith? The disciples prayed, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. And he told this woman, great is thy faith. I've titled this, Great Faith. I want to see a few things about faith and about this woman. I want to use the story of this woman to focus on the subject of faith. We have looked at this story before and dwelt on the story. You know, this woman comes. We're here in Matthew 15. This woman comes, and she has a daughter who's sick, and she's begging the Lord. And we've looked at the story, and we're going to look at these verses. But I want to focus on the subject of faith. I want to talk about faith for just a minute. And I want to begin by pointing out that it says, this woman cried. That's what it says in verse 22. She cried. And it says in verse 23, she cried. She cried and she cried. Verse 25 says, she came and worshiped and cried. She said. Verse 27 says, she cried. She said. And then in verse 28, the Lord said to her, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. He said, you have great faith. I would love for men and women to understand the truth of this subject. Because people talk about faith everywhere. Everybody's so lifted up about their faith. And my faith and your faith and everybody's faith. Let's learn the truth about faith. Let's see what the Lord says is great faith. Great faith. Clearly, by the Lord saying, great is thy faith, and giving her what she came asking for. Clearly, the Lord was pleased with this woman. All right? He was pleased with her. That tells us that she did indeed possess true faith. Because Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So she did possess true faith, and this is the reason why. All right, she had true faith, and here's the reason why. Verse 24, he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Lord said, I am only sent to. This is something to know about the Lord and his ministry on this earth. He came being sent to. He said, I only do for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's who I came for. That's who I'm sent to. I'm not sent to anybody else. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She received faith because she was one of God's chosen, elect people. When he said that to her, he wasn't saying that he didn't come for her. He was not telling her, I didn't come for you. He was not saying that. He was establishing the fact that he came for her. Even though lost, still one of his sheep of the household of Israel. One of the ones he'd chosen to draw to himself with his cords of love. Had she not been one of his sheep, he would have never acknowledged the great faith that had been given to her. He would have not done that. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, faith is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God to us, all who are created in Christ Jesus. So we know that this woman was one of his elect. And we know that this woman had heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because verse 22 says, she knew exactly who he was. It says, "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." She knew who he was. She knew exactly who he was. The son of David is the king. That's who the son of David is. The son of David is the promised one who would come and reign forever. Isn't that who was promised? The son of David, who is going to come and reign forever, of whose kingdom there'll be no end. This is the king who will sit on his throne forever and ever. Hold your place right here and turn with me to Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" People call on this name Jesus all the time. But it's the wrong Jesus. Paul said that other Jesus, that another Jesus, not the one who saves completely alone. This other Jesus is the one who needs our help and he needs our cooperation. They are not calling on the Lord, the sovereign God of heaven and earth. They're calling on someone else. People call on Jesus all the time, but they're not. Whoever is going to call on the Lord, truly call on the Lord, has to believe in him, has to believe who he is and where he came from and why he came and what he did and where he is now and what that means for us. Finished, done, period. That's what it is to believe on him. How's somebody going to believe on him if they've never heard about who he is and what he did and all those things? And how are they going to hear without a preacher of that Jesus? And how's a man going to preach that God manifest in the flesh if he's not sent? Verse 15, "How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" Who hath believed our report? The answer is whoever has been given faith. And how is faith given? How does faith come to a man or a woman? Verse 17, it says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Hearing this word. So this woman, back in Matthew 15, heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sovereign God manifest in the flesh, only mediator between God and man. And faith was given to her through that hearing to believe on him. And that faith that was given to her caused her to do this. Back in Matthew 15, this is what faith in a child of God will cause that child of God to do. Do I have faith? Do you have faith? All right, this is what faith in a child of God will cause that child of God to do. Verse 21, Matthew 15, verse 21. "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him." She came to him. Faith comes to Christ. You know, people stand up and say, now come to Christ. The only way we can is by faith, through faith. Faith comes to Christ. Faith draws a sinner to Christ. That's what it does. It draws a sinner to Christ. She came to him. She cried to him. To him. Stroll with me through some verses here. Go with me to Psalm 9. Psalm 9, verse 10, it says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. They'll trust you. They'll seek you. They will come to you, not doctrine. How many times have you heard men, it's evidenced by what they say. They have come to doctrine. I got it. Election. They've come to doctrine. You know, you got 5 points and 3 R's and such on and so forth. He's not talking about doctrine. If a man ever comes to Christ, he'll come to correct doctrine. But he's not talking about doctrine. He's not talking about denominations. Well, I see it. I'm part of your denomination now. He said, you. They'll come to you. Look with me at Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verse 20. It says, oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. What he's saying is, all my eggs are in one basket. All of my hope and trust is in you. It's in you. Look at Psalm 44. Psalm 44, verse 6 says, for I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. He said, my trust is not in myself. It's not in me. It can't be in me. I've seen the only place that my hope can find any assurance, and that's in the Lord my God. It's in Him. Look at Psalm 146. Psalm 146, verse 3 says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. There is no help. He didn't say very little. He said none. There's none. Verse 2, he said, while I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Verse 5, he said, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. That's what faith produces in a sinner, really. It strips away everything and it exposes Christ our God. That's what faith does. It strips away everything and exposes Christ to us. So faith in the child of God, this particular child of God, if you go with me back to Matthew 15, this faith that this woman received through the hearing of who he was and what he came to do and what he was willing to do, who he came to do it for, that faith caused her to come to him and to cry out to him. And this is what she cried. Look with me at the middle of verse 22. She cried, "Have mercy on me." That's going to be the theme of our morning. All right, that'll be the theme of the whole morning. Have mercy on me. Why would she cry that? It's because her faith revealed to her, and it caused her to believe that she was a sinner. That's the reason why. A sinner in need. Listen to this right here. This is what faith produces in a sinner. A need. That's what faith produces. It produces a need. We ask, do I have faith? Do I have faith? We always see the back end of faith. We see the result of faith. We wonder, well, look at the cause. Look at the beginning. What faith does is it produces a need. It reveals to us what we are, and it reveals to us what we need. Faith does not fulfill the need. Christ fulfills the need. Faith reveals the need. People think faith fulfills the need. Well, I got this problem and this need. What I need is for faith to fulfill it. Christ fulfills the need. Faith reveals the need. That's what faith is. If a sinner ever sees his or her deep need, if a sinner ever looks at himself or herself and sees right here a need, and then sees the only one who can fill that need, it's not me, that sinner will come, and that sinner will cry out to Christ. Faith draws sinners to Christ. What is faith, and do I have it? Well, do I see Christ to be my only hope? Do I have something in me that causes me to want to run to Christ and never leave him? By faith, through faith, God's people come to him and they cry out to him and they keep crying out to him. Verse 21, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." She's crying after those who speak of him and minister of him, those who are the ambassadors of him. She'll go to anybody who can point her to him. She cried and cried and cried. Have mercy on me. Faith is what begins that cry in a sinner. Until a sinner receives faith, that cry is not there. And then faith is what keeps that cry in a sinner. As long as we're in this body of deadness, sinful deadness, we're going to need to cry out for mercy. We're just going to need to cry out for mercy. I need mercy today. Yesterday's mercy gone. I need it brand new today. This woman came to Christ. This woman cried out to Christ. This woman kept on crying out to Christ. Verse 24. But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, there it is. There's that hard election. You hear that hard, mean election? There's that mean election that won't save anybody. Even those who are crying out, help me and save me. Nope. Nothing could be farther from the truth. It is her election that's causing her to beg her Lord for mercy. The only reason she's begging the Lord is because he chose her, chose to redeem her. It's only because he gave faith to her and called her to himself. That's the only reason she's begging and crying out to him right now. She is only responding to the work that he's already done in her. Crying out, coming to him. Crying out to him for mercy. That's not the cause of our salvation. That's the evidence. That's the result. That's the ending result of what God has already done for us. Listen to this right here. This will prove it. We've already stated what she was doing. She came to him. She cried out to him. Listen to this verse right here. No man or woman can come to Christ unless they are drawn by the Father to come to Christ. Election is not what keeps men and women out. Election is what includes men. Greatest thing that God the Father could have ever done for us. No man or woman can come to Christ. People say, well, I'm coming to him. Well, that's only because the Father's drawing you to him. So it's not what keeps men and women out. That's what includes them in. Verse 24, he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. If you came for your lost sheep, let me be one of them. Don't we find ourselves asking that? If you have sheep on this earth that you're going to eternally redeem, let me be one of them. I find myself saying that all the time. Please let me be one of them. Help me. Have mercy on me. Save me. Even me. Even me. Let thy blessing fall on me. Faith is what gives a sinner hope that he or she is included into the adoption of Christ. Faith. Faith says, all right, this is what faith says. When faith comes, when the Spirit brings faith and faith comes and faith whispers into the heart of a child of God, this is what faith says. He only came for needy sinners. And then we say, I'm a needy sinner. Could it be me? Could your mercy please be on me? Let your blessing fall on me. I'm not, just listen to this. Don't turn with me. This is Romans 8. This is verses 14 to 17. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry. You have already received the spirit of adoption whereby. It's through that spirit of adoption. It's through what the Spirit is saying whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That cry is the last thing that happens. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How does it do that? It says the children of God are vile, wretched sinners. And that's what you are. And we say, amen, that is what I am. And if that's the promise of God, I believe it. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. The Spirit brings faith. And that faith reveals Christ. It reveals the object of Christ, the ability of Christ, the will of Christ. This man receives sinners. Isn't that glorious? The mercy of Christ, the redemption of Christ, the righteousness of Christ. It reveals how all that we need is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in return, we come to Him. We beg of Him. We bow to Him. That's what faith produces in a child of God. Verse 25 says, "Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said," and I love this, she said, "Amen. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Faith caused her to believe that she wasn't worthy. "Truth, Lord, you're right. I'm nothing but a dog." Faith causes us to believe whatever God says. "Truth, Lord, whatever God says." We look at what this word has to say about us, and I tell you what it does not say. It doesn't say you are a fine, upstanding citizen, and God is happy with you. It says the exact opposite, and God's people say, "Amen, truth, Lord, I believe. I believe." Faith caused her to believe she wasn't worthy, but faith also caused her to believe, according to His word, if she asked, she was going to receive. She said, "I'm a dog, but even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from their master's table. I'm a dog, but I'm yours. You're my master. I'm looking to you. No matter what, I'm looking to you. As Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Verse 28, "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Faith looks to Christ. It trusts Christ. It believes Christ. Abraham believed God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. That's what he believed. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." That's what faith produces in a sinner, a total reliance on Christ. Faith removes all reliance from self and lays all of it on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me close with this statement, okay? If we could ever stop looking to ourselves and only start looking to Christ, we would have great faith. That leper came to him and said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me whole." That was great faith. In response to that great faith, just like this woman, the Lord said, "I will. Be thou clean." I already have. You are clean. Know it. Realize it. "Lord, it's not our will, it's your will. But if you will, you can." That's great faith. Lord, increase our faith.